So it is good to be together. This is officially our season of Eastertide, and it's so good to be with one another. And now with Easter in the rearview mirror, we come back to our sermon series that we started in March that we're calling This Is Us. This Is Us. And this sermon series is linked to our new mission, vision, and values document that in February we as a church approved. It's kind of a new day for New City, a new roadmap for us ahead. And in March, we talked about our mission statement, which says, New City exists to inspire people to find and follow Jesus. And we unpacked that through this calling of being a blessing to the world. Now, we shift into our vision statement, this vision statement that carries our church specifically to one another and to our community. And our vision statement simply says this, and I believe, Dylan, we have it on the screen. New City is called to be a catalyst for Christ-like change through authentic community, focusing on generous service to one another, the Edina area, and beyond. And today we begin with a word that carries some weight. We begin with this kind of lofty topic that I'm going to gently step into with you today. It carries some weight, and depending on your history with this word, you might look at this word as something that's wonderful, a celebration, or it might carry some difficulty with you, depending on your history with the church, and that is the word stewardship. In fact, today's message is entitled The Stewardship of Vision. And it's interesting when you mention the word stewardship to people in the church, because depending on your history, you come at it with a different perspective. And if you're here for the first time, if you're joining us online, maybe checking out New City, or if you're carrying any weight around this word at all, let me invite you in. This is just an invitation to have a conversation, a gentle, loving, and yet biblically based and discipleship-based conversation about what stewardship looks like. We have to talk about this topic. We have to have a conversation, particularly as it relates to our vision about stewardship, because we are called to be stewards of this vision. It's a biblical conversation. If you're a Jesus follower, it's a discipleship conversation. And it is vital to us as a church to think about such things. So my encouragement to you is to take what we talk about today, think through it, be critical if you'd like, but go to the Word of God and search for your own self what God would call you to when it comes to stewardship. And a lot of times when we think about the word stewardship, we immediately go to money. We immediately go to finances because that's just generally what has been talked about. And there's good reason for that. And I heard a good story related to stewardship and money one time that I'd like to share with you now. There was a very wealthy man who had made a ton of money, whatever a ton of money looks like in this world anymore, and he had gotten older, and his health was failing. And this gentleman wanted to take his wealth with him into the next life when he went to heaven. And so he came up with a plan. He found the best Samsonite briefcase, like armor-plated, military-grade Samsonite briefcase that he could find. And he took all of his wealth, and he turned it into gold bars. And he put those gold bars in the Samsonite briefcase. He found himself military-grade handcuffs, and he put one set of handcuffs on the Samsonite briefcase with the gold bars in it, and the other set of handcuffs on himself. And he gave his family very specific instruction. He said, when I pass from this life on to the next, make sure the gold bars are handcuffed to me with my Samsonite, apparently transcendent briefcase, right? And sure enough, the day came. This is a story joke, by the way. Some of you are looking very serious right now, like, did this really happen? The day came when the man passed from this life on to the next. He passed in peace. His family surrounded him. They sang hymns together, and it was a beautiful moment. And the next moment, the man woke up at the pearly gates, and there he was face to face with Peter. And Peter said, welcome to heaven. You're about to come in. And the man said, I'm so glad that my briefcase came with me. And Peter said, well, what do you have in there? And he did the combination, opened it up, and there was the gold bars. You know what Peter said to him? Oh, fantastic. You brought pavement. Pretty good, right? The point is, what we find valuable here in this life isn't always valuable in the next. You get me? I'm not that great of a joke teller. That was okay. Come on. I got one more later on. I'm telling you, when you deal with heavy topics, you got to insert the jokes. The only thing, here's the phrase for the day, that keeps us from obsessing over things of value here is stewardship. The only thing that keeps us from obsessing over things here is stewardship. If we can learn to be stewards of the things of God, that is what we will obsess over here on earth. And that is what I want to talk about today. Now, there is a difference between stewardship and ownership. And I know some of you are experts in this conversation, but humor me for a minute. A steward is not an owner. And an owner is not necessarily a steward. A steward is a manager of something that somebody else owns. Psalm 24, verse 1, says that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. This is ownership. Psalm 89 says, the heavens are yours, God, and the earth is yours. Everything in this world is yours. You created it all. That's ownership. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. God owns everything. That is what ownership looks like. And just because we have it, whatever it is, whatever valuable thing we think we own, just because we have it, it doesn't necessarily mean that we own it. Just because we have it doesn't make it ours to own. We might have it because it might be ours to steward. This is a mentality shift, and the invitation, and it is just that, an invitation is to move from an ownership mentality to a stewardship mentality. And if we can come to a place where everything that we have, everything that I have, everything that I think I own, if we can come to a place where we know and believe and act as if it is God's, it impacts everything about us. It impacts the way that we treat our stuff, the way that we treat people and places and things. Not obsessing over things that we shouldn't obsess over. It helps us work towards the things of God rather than the things that humanity craves. It gives us a purpose. It gives us a holy vision to work with what God has given us to His glory and not our own. A steward is a manager. And this is something that everybody else, a steward is a manager. It is somebody that has something been given to them to entrust. They make more of whatever has been given to them. Or they use it to the benefit of the owner. They invest in it, they protect it, and they grow it. That's what a steward does. But what they don't do is they don't assume that it's theirs. A steward has a certain reverence for things. And here's a good perspective, maybe even a good mantra to consider as we think about this call to steward. If you want to have stuff, but you don't want stuff to have you, become a good steward. Can I get an amen from the congregation? If you want to have stuff, let's try it again, but you don't want to have stuff to you, become a good steward. And the church said, amen. New City is a steward of this vision that God has called us to be a catalyst for Christ-like change through authentic community, focusing on generous service to one another, to the Edina community, and beyond. And to do this, I think there are two stewardship items. There's probably many, many more that we could talk about, but there's two that I want to name today and invite you in to consider how these impact the way we steward the vision that God has called us to. And the first one is this. I want to think about how we steward our relationships. We are called to steward our relationships. Now, what does this mean? It means that the relationships that we have are not our own. They are ours to steward. Our relationships we have are not our own. They are ours to steward. God never called us to do life alone. God's desire is for us to be in healthy relationships. Notice that word, healthy relationships. I mentioned this last week during our Easter service that one of the malfunctions that God sent His Son Jesus to fix was the malfunction of brokenness between people, the brokenness that exists between relationships. God cares about the relationships that we're in. And God invented relationships after all. If you go all the way back to Genesis, you see that it says, God said, it is not good for a man to be alone. I will bring a woman alongside of him. And this is not just a romantic dynamic in their relationship. It is a community experience in which they say, we link arms to move forward together. And this is the call that God has in our lives. God's desire is to do life together. Who we do life with makes the difference. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 says this, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Spiritual things are what we're talking about today. We're talking about spiritually deep things. And I mentioned this again last week, that one thing that we all have in common as the church community is that no one is perfect in this place. We're all broken, and we all have stories of falling, of failure. All have had moments where we have struggled in our faith, and that is where these relational dynamics are so important. There's this reality that sometimes we fall. Right? It happens in our lives. It happens in the people's lives around us. It happens in people's lives in the church. We have failure, or we fall, and sometimes we might have an event in our lives. Maybe it's marked by a sin or a tragedy. Maybe there was something that was in your control that you didn't handle well. Maybe there's something out of your control that has impacted your life. And the idea here is that when these kind of failing and falling moments, that we fall forward together, rather than backward, like so many people do. This is the calling of the church. We fall and fail forward. And that God can use any situation that we might find ourselves in because of the way we stewarded our relationships to get His glory in our lives, in the lives of the church. We are invited to be people that, as Ecclesiastes says, reach out and help one another. But we also need to understand that we will never fully fulfill our potential unless we are surrounded by people who also help us to get up from time to time. These are the people that help us to go deeper in our faith and help us in our times of need. That's the invitation when it comes to authentic community. We need people, and not just any people, the right people. My kids would roll their eyes if they were in the room for this today, but one of the mantras in our homes that I say to them nonstop, and they don't like to hear this all the time, is that if you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. It's the old youth pastor in me, right? Like, we know that to be true. And isn't that a great statement for every teenager in the world? You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Isn't it also a great statement for adults? Isn't it also a great statement to think about that as the church? Show me a church that has discerned together, done the hard work of making it through challenging situations, and I'll show you your future. Show me a church that has prayed through, God, show us the way to care for your community, and I will show you a great vision. And that's what New City is in the moment, right now. Show me your friends, show me your community, and I'll show you your future. And this begs the question, who, my dear friends, is influencing your life? You choose your friends. You choose your community. You control who you will share your life's vision with, your calling, the purpose that you have been called to. There is a level of friendship that goes deep, and it makes all the difference, and it's important. And we are always surrounded by people. All of us have so many different communities that are around us. We're surrounded by people nonstop. And in that, hear this, we are called to love all people. It is the way of Jesus. We are called to love all people, but not all people are called to influence our lives. There are communities that you've been called to. Love people, share the good news of Jesus, even just by being present with them. But those aren't necessarily situations that are called to be influencers in your life. So guard your heart. Manage your relationships well. Steward your relationship well. Who is influencing you? Who is influencing your mind and your heart and your soul? Are they pointing you to God? I was a youth pastor for many, many years. And I'll never forget one of the most failed examples of trying to teach teenagers about this, that I made a mistake. Okay, I'm going to share with you a failure. Is that okay? We were talking about dating relationships. And with teenagers, this is a really big conversation, right? Like the romance is flying around and all this. And we were talking about how, listen, it's really tough to be a Jesus follower and date somebody who's not. I mean, if you're a Christian and you start to give your romantic effort towards somebody else who's not, it creates a really difficult dynamic. Can I get an amen on that, right? And so I had an example that I wanted to share with the students. So what I did was I put a chair, it really wasn't a stage, but I put a chair up in the front. And I asked this young woman, like Olivia, I said, come on up here, and you don't have to do it right now, but stand in this chair. It's kind of like this. When you're a Christian, and you're following Jesus, and you're loving the Lord, and you're trying to live your life, and then you start to date somebody who's not, it's kind of like this. And this young woman stood up on the chair, and then I called some kind of beefy guy up, right, some bigger dude. And I said, okay, try to pull him up on the chair with you. Have you seen this before? It's kind of a well-known classic youth ministry thing, right? And of course, it's supposed to be difficult to pull the big dude up with her, right? And you could go either way. But then I said to the guy, now just gently pull her down. And of course, the idea is that she's just supposed to easily come down. And so it's supposed to give you a visual. But what happened was really kind of sad. As soon as she tried to pull the guy up with her, the chair, the pressure that she had put on the chair was so great that the chair just flipped right over. And she went crashing to the ground, utter failure, and I felt terrible. She was okay. Everybody laughed. She was a little embarrassed. She was mad at me for about 3 years. That's just kind of how it works when you're a youth pastor. But it was amazing also how great the example works, right? Because sometimes we've experienced that. When somebody who lives their life for somebody else who isn't a Jesus follower, it can be a tragic situation. It can be a train wreck. And, we kind of laugh about it. I saw her a couple years ago. Water under the bridge now. She's forgiven me. But it was an interesting example of that moment, right? The question for all of us is this. Are the people in our lives influencing us towards Christ? Do they bring unity in your life, or do they bring division? Are they spurring you on towards faith, or are they distracting you from it? When we consider the stewardship call to manage our relationships right, we must consider this. Our vision is to be a catalyst for Christ-like change. Think about that word, Christ-like change. We'll talk more about that next week. Through authentic community, focusing on generous service to one another, the Edina area, and beyond. And we are called to steward our relationships well. Stewardship item number one, steward your relationships well. Stewardship item number two, are you ready for this? Is we are called to steward our finances well. Everybody just take a deep breath for a minute. Don't hate me. I think the question is fair. Tim, you've been here literally not even 8 months. You've been the pastor of this church. Is it really time for you to start preaching messages about money? Is it really that time? Have we earned that kind of trust, that relational capital? I don't know the answer to that question, but I'm just trying to be faithful to what I think God has put in my heart. And what you do with it is up to you, right? We're all on a journey together, and it is exactly that, a together journey. So this is much of a sermon for me. It is for any of us. We are called to steward our finances well. And I believe that, this is an incredibly generous church, filled with incredibly generous people. And as I've been getting to know you, what I've learned is that there are people in this room that have most definitely wrestled with this call to steward your finances well, probably your whole life. We can all probably look back at our lives and say, there was a season that I was a good steward of the finances that God had blessed me with. And there are probably times when we could look back and say, there's times when I wish I would have done better. We probably can all share stories of that. We won't right now, don't worry. But what is the principle of stewarding finances well? So let's talk about this for a few minutes because it's important. It's important when we think about the vision that God has called us to as a church. It's important to consider the vision that God has called us to as individuals. And this is the issue, that at the very depth of our souls, finances live there. There's very few things that are quite as sacred and close to our hearts as our finances, whether it's security, the desire to make more money, the desire to build something. It's a very intimate conversation. And if there's one thing that the church should be a shining example of to this world, it should be to steward our finances well. Full of integrity and character and generosity, doing just things, handling our money well so that people see what the glory of God looks like when we're called to steward our finances well. You cannot get around Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. We cannot serve both God and money. A good steward of finances is someone who serves God and learns to make money their servant. A bad steward, if that's even a phrase, is someone who serves money and tries to get God to be their servant. This is the God and the genie in a bottle kind of mentality, where we only pull God out when we need him for something. God, I need some healing. I need a blessing. I'm going to rub the bottle. The genie's going to come out. That's when I'm going to ask God for something. That's not what discipleship's call is. If we learn to serve God and learn to be stewards of our finances, we are living into Scripture's call, the vision for our lives individually and as a church. Good and healthy financial stewards are marked by two different characteristics. Stay with me, everyone, okay? First is a plan. A good steward has a plan. Budgets are our friends. This is not a finance seminar. I promise I'm not the person to do that in this room. I'm just going to challenge you to think about this. Budgets are our friends. And when we don't have a budget, as you've probably experienced at some point in your life, we tend to get into financial trouble. And maybe a better way to think about it is this. A budget is giving every dollar a name. Let me say it a different way. A budget is giving every dollar a missional name. A missional name, full of vision and hope, when you understand that you've been given and been blessed to give away. Similar to the French fry example with the kids, right? A budget is an opportunity to give every dollar a name. This part of my budget goes towards the mission when I retire. This part of the budget goes to the mission of being a parent. This part of my budget goes to the mission of creating a hospitable place in my home. This part of my mission goes towards the mission of the church together as a congregation. As Christians, we should absolutely function with a vision for our money, and I don't know that we always do that. And to have a vision, we must have a plan. If I had more time today, I would talk about how the gift of... Okay, I'm just going to do it anyways. I'm going to tell you this really quick. My wife and I have been married almost 27 years. My wife's name is Maria. She's not here today. Let's talk about her, okay? She's in Rochester with my daughter. My wife's an accountant. She's a brilliant financial person. And when we've known each other since we were kids, but when we started dating in our 20s, Maria had a financial plan. Guess who didn't have a financial plan? This guy, okay? And you know what she said to me? If you want to date me, you better figure that out. Because she wasn't going to be interested in spending the rest of her life with somebody that didn't have a financial plan. I'm like, hey, God's going to take care of us. Don't even worry about it. But because of my wife's generosity, her planning, her frugalness, her ability to save and see the big picture, we've done some amazing things with our money because of Maria's desire to steward. We adopted 3 of our kids. That is not a cheap adventure. We fostered over 10 kids, and contrary to popular belief, that is a very expensive adventure. And all to God's glory because of my wife. Because God put this burden on her heart. I just wanted to brag on her for a little bit. I don't do that very often in front of you. But I'm so thankful for her because God has used her to put this heart in me to be a good steward to the best that I can. Good financial stewards have a plan. We should have a plan as a church. And we do. And we're working on it even more. But so should you as individuals. Give your money a missional name. That's number one. Number two is more difficult. Are you ready? Take a deep breath. I'm going to tell another joke in a minute. Good financial stewards tithe. This tithe. Now, we don't have enough time to unpack all of the tithe conversations biblically, but I'll start with this joke because I love this joke. I might have even told a few of you this joke before. So there's these 3 holy people who were talking about money one day. There was a priest, a Baptist pastor, and a covenant pastor. That's a good start to the joke, right? And they were sitting around having coffee, and they were talking about, you know, how do you decide how much money to give to God? And so the priest said, oh, well, I've got the perfect plan. And he said, what I do is I take a stick and I draw a circle around me. And I take all my money in my arms and I throw it as high as I can in the air, and whatever falls inside the circle, I give to God, and whatever falls outside the circle, I keep for myself. And the Baptist pastor said, you know what? That's pretty good. He said, I do something similar. I actually draw a circle around me as well, and I take all my money in my arms and I throw it up in the air, and whatever falls inside the circle, I actually keep for myself. And whatever falls outside the circle, I give to God. A little bit different, right? And the covenant pastor was really thinking here, and he said, listen, you know what I do? He said, I take all my money in my arms and I throw it up in the air, and whatever God wants, he can keep. Man, that's like, was it okay? There's 2 for 2 or 0 for 2. I'm not sure. Your reaction's a little muddled, but that's all I got. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Don't try comedy,
Shane. I won't, Joe. All right, well, let's bring it back, because here's what the prophet Malachi says about tithing, okay? Here's kind of where the money hits the road. Malachi 3, verse 8 says, Malachi is prophesying, he's talking for God in this, and he says, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? And Malachi literally says then, in tithes and offerings that are due to me. The important thing that we have to understand about tithing is that it is all about honoring God and being obedient. That's all it's about. It's about honoring God and being obedient. And it's important to remember, and I know some of you taught on this before, so I'm just going to say it anyways, from God's perspective, God doesn't need our money. Thank God he doesn't need our money. But he doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our finances. When we give God our tithes, when we are obedient and faithful, God knows that if he can get it to us, he can get it through us. Hear that again. God knows that through our financial blessing, whatever that looks like in your life, if he can get it to us, he can get it through us. We don't give just because of a need. We give out of obedience. We give to the vision that God has called us to. And it takes faith to be a tither. Now, I want to kind of close today with this, an illustration, if you will. So, Dan, I kind of prepped you for this. Come on up here for a minute. Let's give Dan a hand, please, everybody. So Dan is going to help me kind of, you can just stand right there, and there's going to be a little bit of water. So face the audience, okay? I won't try to get you wet. Those are nice shoes, but just maybe hold it out kind of like this. Now, what Dan is going to do, he's going to help me with this. I've never done this before, so I hope it goes well, okay? Now, let's just say that this bottle of water represents all of our finances, okay? And the cap represents the 10% tithe. Follow me? Okay? Now, what happens when the cap is on? I'll just do a little bit. Just this is for effect, okay? What happens when the cap is on and God tries to bless us in different ways with our finances, right? It blocks the water from going in, okay? When we hold back the tithe, God, who wants to bless and work with our finances, but we don't tithe, God can't get into our finances. It's an effort that God makes. Sorry, Dan, you're doing great. But because we don't give, it stops God from getting into the rest of our financial house. That's what happens when we don't tithe. God still loves us. God is still with us. And as much as God wants to pour in, he can't get in. This is the principle of the first fruits. Yeah, you ready for this? This is the principle of the first fruits. And this is why it's important for those who follow Jesus, because of our faith. But once we tithe, once we let God in, once we do this, it opens us up to God getting into our finances. And what happens then when God can get into our finances? You ready for this? God begins to pour into our finances. Maybe there's an abundance, maybe there's a scarcity, but God begins to pour into our finances, and what do we start to see? I won't do too much more. I'll clean it up, don't worry. There's a shot back. There's an overflow that happens. There's an overflow that happens, and who doesn't want to live an overflowing life? Now, I want to be really careful about this example. You're doing really well. Just stand there for a minute, okay? I'm not here to tell you, this is not a health and wealth gospel message. It's not what this is. You may or may not experience financial windfall in your life. I don't know what God's going to do for you in that way. What I know is that it's much better to live a life of overflow, where your finances are used to move forward the vision of God, rather than withholding just to try to create something that you can't take with you anyway when it's all said and done. This is the kind of life that I want to live with whatever God gives us, and this is the life that I believe God has called New City to as we consider our vision for the future. Would you give Dan a hand? What a great sport. Got a little bit all wet. Thank you very much. Let me just wrap this up, but first let me close this so that we can stop spilling water everywhere. We have a chance to think about such things in the context of God's economy. God's economy. And we are called through a vision to be about the Father's business. When we give to God. And God places us, hear this, in the local church. You've been called to this place. Don't come here out of convenience. Come here because you're called. And we've been called to be a part of the local church. And the local church is a mechanism for our giving so that we can bless the world. It is never about blessing New City and to make New City great. It is always about making the name of Jesus Christ great. So that's what we do. We huddle together, we tithe, we give God our money, and we pray that God would give us wisdom and direction together with accountability to one another, all for God's glory, to bless His world. I want to invite you to consider this today, and that's all it is an invitation. There is nothing that God needs from your finances. The reason for the tithe is that He wants to be in your finances. God knows He can get into your finances. He knows then that He can get into your heart. And God uses that faithfulness to move forward the vision in our lives and in the world around us. We are called to be stewards. What a great calling. To be great stewards of relationships and to be great stewards of our finances. Over the next several weeks into May, we're going to be unpacking more specifically our vision statement. And you're going to hear us unpack these words around this vision that we are called to. But I want to encourage you today, as we go from this place, to wrestle with these things in your own heart and in your own life. Because we are called, invited, to be stewards of all that God has entrusted us with, so that we may together be a catalyst for Christ-like change through authentic community, focusing on generous service to one another, the Edina community, and beyond. May it be so. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the way that You have blessed us, the way that You have cared for this church over the years, the way that You have cared for us in our lives over the years. Thank You, Lord, for the financial blessings. I also want to say thank You, God, for the financial times in our lives when things have been bare. Oh, what lessons we have learned in those moments. Thank You for the relationships in our lives, Father. We stand on the shoulders of so many that have been before us in our lives in different situations, and we also thank You for the people that are currently there to spur us on towards faith. And Father, I just want to ask that You would help us to accept this call of being a steward for Your kingdom resources, for Your blessings, that we may be a blessing to bless others, that we may be blessed to bless others. God, we want to give You all the glory for this place, and we want to continue to ask that You would unpack this vision for us, that we would see clearly the way Your Spirit is moving around us, and that we would follow You with obedience, linking arms together with one another, all to Your glory, God. Thank You for this word today, the way that it's changing me, challenging me, and I pray that it would go out from this place and change all of us, Father. We pray these things now with hope, with excitement, with encouragement, with expectation. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.